Psalm this morning is Psalm 124. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick, with their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had overwhelmed us, the stream had gone over our soul, then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped as a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Falling apart at the seams here. Yes, good morning. Welcome to God's peace. And welcome to our visitors. Let us humbly come before our Lord and bow in our hearts and in prayer and open up our service. Father, it is with great joy that we can sing unto you this morning. Come unto you and gather together in one and one thought and one mind and one heart and accept all that whom you are and all that you have bestowed upon us. We are challenged, or I certainly, Father, am challenged with the scripture readings this morning, and as one that may be as your servant Job that would question you, but Father, know that my thought and our thoughts are one that we know that this is the day that you hath made, and that we can be glad and rejoice in it. For it is you who set the day spring before us. It is you who have ensured that cross is barren, that our sins imputed upon your Son were taken and put away, and judicially you have reconciled us unto you. May we be believing with one heart that, Father, that your righteousness is in, of your Son is imputed onto us as well, that victory is won. May we be able to tell of that truth, to sing of that from the bottom of our heart, those truths that you give each of us, as our brother mentioned earlier, that you would stir up in us and shed our feet with that peace that brings us and makes them move and makes them affect one another, and give us that desire that, as our brother may speak of the text today, that these parables, these stories, that our hearts are not calloused of them, that you would stir within us a desire to know more, that you say that too much to whom is given, you give more, and too much is given, much even more is given, and may we always be desiring for that truth and wisdom and enlightenment that only you can provide, that you would give our brother Misha the words to say that you want us to hear, that you would open our ears to that which you want us to really hear for each of us. Maybe a bunch of us together, but Father, certainly that which you want us to hear. May we be desirous to always seek you. We're thankful for this day, as we mentioned, the doors that are open, that we can come together and together worship you. But for those, and we know not when, it could be any particular day of the week that we are each affected differently, that we may think we're lost at times. It depends what season we're in, that we know that you wait atop that hill that you know where we're at. You know that we're not lost, and you're eager to embrace us, just to maybe look upon you and know that radiance in your countenance is there to shine upon us, to bless us, to be toward us from the days, the tempest of the day set before us and the storms that go through. May we be with those who maybe can't sing so joyously today, that each of us are affected differently by the same event, and there's some unique events, as some of our brothers and sisters are going through now. A lozenge caught in my throat here. Be with Jordan and Amy and their families, the grandkids, with Jordan, with George and Beth, as they go through this time, a time that you knew that was going to come before them, a time that you'll have each for one of us. We await the day that we can be with you when we don't have to go through these times. There will be no storms there, but for now there is, and we know that you have given us each other to help along the way. Father, may we be vessels unto honor unto you, to share of that wonderful news that you have provided a reconciler, a litigator for us, that we know that our victory has been won. Father, singularly today is a special day for one here. My thoughts and our thoughts are certainly with those who may in times past have celebrated this date with great joy, and maybe that the one is you've taken home already, that we can still celebrate the times past together and the days ahead. Be with those who will travel. Be with those who will bring your word this week to all the brothers and sisters who will gather together and worship and praise you, to conduct the business affairs of our church this coming week. And Father, thankful for that, the bread that you bestow upon us, the assurance that we'll have a meal set before us when we're done here and leave, and another one after that, and another one after that, that you will provide what we need. And Father, may we together lift up unto you that perfect prayer that your Son has taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us not into trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Shall we continue with 383?
Good morning and God's peace. Grace to you all and mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And let us turn to our text for today. This is Gospel from Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, in fact, to the end of the chapter. And let us read in the name of Jesus. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. And this text today gives us an opportunity to think about difficult situations in our life, about trials and tribulations, which happen sometimes quite often with many of us, and to say more exactly, with all of us. And we all believe in God. Some people have a very strong faith, and they are together with God every day and maybe every hour, every minute of their lives. But in average, when we say about, when we speak about believers, situation is like this. When our life is good and everything is stable, everything is good with us, with our health, with our loved ones, with our children, and so on, and situation at work and everywhere, and we are okay. And we, of course, we continue to believe in God, and we remember about him, but not so much. And some days maybe we don't turn to the Bible to read God's word, and we can watch TV and listen to music and different things and some entertainment. So everything is okay. So we don't remember much about God. But when situation, when clouds, black clouds come to us and they very close to us, and situation is much worse, and it can be different. It can be problems with health of our own or members of our family, or different situations at work and so on. And we now remember about God, and we turn to him in prayer, and we begin to pray, Merciful God, remember me, forgive my sins, and help me in this situation, help my family, and so. So in other words, when we remember more about God, when our life is more difficult, and it is natural. And sometimes we find ourselves in despair situations, and I can say about even myself that we don't have anybody to turn to, only God, only our last hope. And we pray with tears, and so God be merciful and help us. And about this situation, similar situation happened here. Let us read. And the same, verse 35, and the same day when the even was come, he saith, he is Jesus Christ, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And earlier in this chapter, we can see that it was very busy day, And Jesus taught a lot of people, multitudes, by the seaside, like it is written there. And what sea? It was, in fact, it was a lake, but it was also called a sea, the Sea of Galilee. And this is lake, but like sea, size of this lake is about 20 by 13 kilometers. I don't know if Silver Lake probably not so big like this. So, and people sometimes call it sea, the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus himself, see, he offered them to go to another side of the lake. And then, next verse 36, and when they had sent away the multitude, because people were still around them, how we can see from here. So disciples sent away people. They took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. So. And here happened a situation. So when they started to go to cross the lake or sea, situation was probably good. The weather was good and everything was okay. And they started with confidence. But situation changed very quickly, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. So, and in my life I experienced something, maybe not in such a terrible extent like here, but we have in Edmonton, we have a friend who has a sail boat, and he likes it too much, and in summertime he keeps this boat in Wabamun Lake. Well, this quite big lake, and he goes there, and one day he invited us with Natasha, with my wife, to sail with him. And it was exactly like here. When we came here, there, it was sunshine, it was almost no wind, and when we started, he used engine in the beginning, then he lifted his sail, or maybe two sails, okay, sail, and almost no wind. We moved very slowly, because no wind, and so sometimes he turned on engine again, and we continued to go, and after, I don't know, an hour and maybe an hour and a half, we turned back. And here, the weather changed very rapidly. So, black clouds came and started rain, very strong wind first, then rain and hail. And, it was very, we were completely wet, all three. So, but finally we came to the shore, and it was only one bad thing, we were wet. But here, as we can see, situation was much worse. So because it is written here, the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So their ship or boat was almost full of water, and it was a real danger. So their boat could go down, could sink. But what was about people inside of this ship? And we read, and verse 38. And he, Jesus, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. So, and in this situation, Jesus was sleeping in the back part of the ship. And we don't know why he slept, but probably he slept because he was very tired. Like we read before, this beginning of this chapter, and in chapter 3, all the time we can see here that a lot of people were around Jesus and his disciples, and he taught them, he healed sick people, and he cast devils, so he did many things, and he was very busy. And how we read chapter, well, same gospel, chapter 3, verse 20, how Jesus and his disciples were busy. And the multitude cometh together again. Again people came, so that they could not so much as eat bread. They even didn't have time to eat. So much was Jesus busy. And maybe because Jesus was a human, he was the same person, same human like other people around him, and he was tired. And when I also experienced this, one time in my life I had to work 36 hours without any break. But I didn't work with hammer, but still I did many things. And when I was going home, I didn't drive, but I just slept. Yeah. So, and probably Jesus was also very tired, and he slept. He slept, and when somebody is very tired, he can sleep in different situations. Yeah, and also I recall one story about one of my American friends, and when he was young, his relatives said, when he was young, he was sleeping at home. I don't know if he was tired or not, but sleeping, and the neighbor house was burning. He burned to the ground, and firefighters came and saw a thing, but he didn't wake up. He continued to sleep. So just... So, and Jesus was sleeping, and other people, disciples, they didn't sleep, they saw this situation, and they were afraid. And what did they have to do? They decided to wake Jesus up, and they hoped that he can do something in this situation. And those disciples already spent some time with Jesus, and they understood that he was a great teacher. They could see that he could do miracles. They could heal people. So he had some supernatural abilities. And they hoped in this situation that somehow he could do something. They didn't understand exactly, but maybe. And they decided to wake him up, and they did it, and it is written here, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? They called him Master, so it's like a great teacher. Carest thou not that we perish? In other words, they said, you don't care. We are dying here, but you are sleeping. You don't care about us, about boat, and so on. And when I read this, their question, carest thou not that we perish? But now, of course, from 2,000 years later, when we know all history and what happened with Jesus later and with the disciples, so we know everything now. And now we can say that their question sounds even, I don't know, a little bit funny maybe. Or, yeah, because Jesus came to this world because he cared so much that he didn't want people to perish. The very reason he came to the world, because he wanted to save his people from death, from eternal death. So, but of course the disciples didn't know about that, and they asked this question. And here let us say a little bit now about another thing. In the Old Testament, we can find several places where the scripture says about power of God over sea, over ocean, over sea. And only God could have this power, not prophets, not some other God's people, but only God. And let us turn to several short places from the Old Testament about power of God over sea. So, and first, the book of Nahum, the book of Nahum, chapter 1, verse 4. And it is said about God here: God is jealous, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power. Before, and verse 4 says, "He rebuketh the sea and makes it dry." So God rebukes the sea and makes it dry. Then another place, from book of Psalms, and first Psalm 65, verse 7. And again, it is David speaks here about God, and in verse 7 it is written, "Which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves." Then Psalm 89, verses 8 and 9. 89 verses 8 and 9. And it is written here, we can read, "O Lord God of hosts, who is strong Lord like unto thee?" And then verse 9, "Thou rulest the raging of the sea, when the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them." And then the last place from the Old Testament, this is Psalm 107, verse 29. And again, it is written here about God, and here, "He makes the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still." He makes the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. And now let us come back to our text, to verse 39. So, and when disciples woke up Jesus, what did he do? And happened almost exactly like we read in Old Testament. So what did he do? So when Jesus woke up, it is written here, "And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." So almost exactly like we read in those four places from Old Testament. And even it is written here, the same word, "And he arose and rebuked the wind." And also in the book of Nahum, it was written the same word. So, and when Jesus did it, it was obvious sign that he wasn't just a man. And his disciples, they knew the scriptures, they knew Old Testament, how we call it today. And they knew those places that only God has power over the sea. And now they see that Jesus, their teacher, he calmed down the storm and wind and waves. And of course they knew about Jesus that he was a great teacher. He gave his own teaching to the people and to them, and he cast out devils, that he healed different sicknesses, and even they witnessed that he proclaimed forgiveness of sins. But still, and they understood that Jesus was not just a man, but he was a real Messiah. He was promised Messiah. He was fulfillment of God's promise. He was sent by God, but still they thought about him like about a human. Of course, very powerful, very strong, very smart, and yeah, but still human. But when they saw what Jesus did with the storm and big waves, and waves, I also heard, if I'm correct, on this Sea of Galilee, sometimes when the wind is strong, waves can be up to 10 feet in height. So this is quite big waves, and can be very dangerous. But Jesus, very quickly, he just, with his words, he didn't do it. And also it is interesting that Jesus didn't pray. What would we do in this situation? Of course, we would pray to God. I remember we have also some friends, and they said, told us a story, which happened with them. One day they were flying by plane, maybe from Europe, it was a long flight. And I don't remember exactly, but situation became very scary. So maybe it was turbulence, I don't know, shaking plane, I don't know. But all people were afraid, and they said, our friends, they were Christians, but they said that all other people, and probably majority of people in that plane were not Christians, were not believers, but they said that all people around them were praying in that serious and scary situation. But Jesus here, he didn't pray. He didn't pray to God. He just said, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Yeah. So he did it because he didn't have to pray in this situation, because Jesus was God himself, and he just showed his power, which he had from the beginning of times, power to create everything, to create universe and earth and humans and all animals and plants and forests and oceans, just with his word. In fact, this sea, this ocean or lakes, it was also his creation. And he, like a real master, he had complete power over his creation. But also interesting, I would like to say that when in previous verse, verse 38, when disciples applied to him, they said, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" So they, in fact, they didn't understand then, but in fact, they applied to God. And it was, we can say, when we apply to God, when we ask God about something, what is this? This is a prayer. And it was their kind of prayer, I would say. So when they said, because they spoke to God, and they asked him to help them, and it was in fact prayer. Of course, sounds a little bit different than we pray, but maybe we can say so. So, and Jesus stopped this wind and waves and rain, probably everything, and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. It was very, very quiet. And when, let us turn to verse 41, maybe skip 40 for a while. And when Jesus did this, and they fear, and what about disciples? So Jesus did what he did, and what reaction of disciples? And they feared it exceedingly, and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Yeah, as we said before, disciples knew from the scriptures that only God has power over the sea, and they looked, and at that time they couldn't put everything in order in their heads. They looked at Jesus, they saw he was a human like them, but at the same time he did something what was possible only for God, and they couldn't understand completely how. And because of that, they feared exceedingly. They were afraid very much of Jesus, and said one to another, "What manner, what kind of man, who is he that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So, as we said before, they knew that Jesus was not an ordinary man. He did a lot of miracles and many things, but still they explained it. Okay, he's sent by God, he's Messiah, promised Messiah, and God gave him ability to do all those miracle things. But here, when Jesus did something what only God could do, they couldn't understand, and because of that, they feared exceedingly, like it is written here. And now let us go back to verse 40. And he, Jesus, and he said unto them, "Why are you so fearful? Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Why are you so fearful? Why are you afraid so much?" And for us, this question maybe can be a little bit strange, because situation was really very serious. It was very dangerous, because it was a question of life and death. They could die, they could lose their lives. And it was a situation when it was natural to be afraid, when to have fear. And I think all of us would be afraid in this situation, because threat of life. But Jesus says, "Why are you so fearful?" And from this question, from this situation, I think we can conclude that Jesus wants us not to be afraid, not to have fear in any situation, even threat of our life, even death will happen with us in a minute or two. But we shouldn't have fear. We shouldn't have fear, probably. And then next question Jesus asks, "How is it that you have no faith?" So, and here like, I don't know, combination maybe, or between fear and faith. So disciples had fear, and Jesus makes a conclusion that they had this fear even in this dangerous situation because they didn't have faith. And it also true for all of us. So Jesus doesn't want us to be afraid. Never. In fact, we know that even in our community here, we know people who do not have fear, even before very, very dangerous situation, even before face of death. Yes, and this is good example for us, so we shouldn't be afraid. Of course, it is not difficult. It is not easy. It is not easy. And for those people who are not believers, who don't believe in God, who don't believe in Jesus, and in our days we know that many people are in stress, in how it is called, depression, and big pharma, so-called, they produce and they sell a lot of medication to them, and this is a big business, and a lot of people take antidepressants, they are called, and so, and depressions and stresses. But the best treatment, I think, and I think you agree with me, the best treatment for depressions and stress is God, is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ was and is and will be the greatest physician. He can heal everything, and depressions and stresses. So, but what kind of remedy Jesus uses? Faith. When we have more faith, we have less fear. This is like those volumes of vessels. So more fear, or more exactly, the less faith, the more fear, and back. So, and here, maybe let us for a short time come back to our first verse in our text. There is a saying that repetition is a mother of learning. So let us come back again to our first verse. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. So Jesus told his disciples, let us pass over unto the other side. And from this context of this text, we understand that Jesus spoke about the other side of the lake or the sea. But because it is not written here about other side of the lake or sea or something, we can imagine a little bit, think that Jesus offers us to go to another side of what? And some of us, I don't know, in our lives across any lakes or sea, some of us maybe never did it, but there is some sea or river when all of us will cross one day. Nobody can escape it. And what is this river or sea? This is sea of life. And now, today, we are alive, we are living this flesh, and we are on this side of that sea. So we live here on the earth in our flesh, but one day we will cross this river or lake or sea, we can call it, like in one hymn, because he lives, there are words, and then one day I'll cross the river and final fight with pain, something. So, and then one day I'll cross the river, and one day we all will cross that river or sea of life, river of life, and we will get to another side. And Jesus offers us, he says, let us pass over unto the other side of this life together with me, on the same boat with Jesus. And Jesus invites all of us, get to my boat and I will bring you safely to another side. And then when we cross that river or sea of life, we will get to another side, and there before us will be like fork road which has two directions, maybe more exactly like this. So, and it will have this two roads. On other side we'll have two very different destinations. One destination is hell, eternal separation from God, cursed place, and another place is blessed heaven, God's kingdom, and eternal unity with God, and existence in presence of God himself. And of course, all of us, nobody wants to get to hell, but everybody wants to get to heaven. But when we get to another side, it will be too late, it will not be our choice which direction to go, to hell or to heaven. So it should be done, our seat must be booked when we are here on this side of life. Yes, and how can we book this seat for that journey together with Jesus? And Jesus invites us, go with me. But how can we book it? Nothing unclean can get in presence of God. And what it means unclean? So nothing sinful can get in presence of God. So we should, and we are all sinners, and what should we do? And we should remove our sins. We should drop them behind us. And without sins, we can get to this boat with Jesus and get to this heavenly kingdom, God's kingdom. And also it is interesting that in the very first pages of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, it is written also chapter 3, verse 10. When Adam and Eve didn't obey God, and they fell in sin, and then when chapter 3 verse 10, and God called, God said, where art thou? And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And Adam, and he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. And I was afraid. Probably, I think before that, Adam and Eve, they didn't have any reason to be afraid. They didn't know fear. But maybe the first time for the mankind, fear came to them. And fear came to them with sin, when they didn't obey God. And they received fear. And we have all those fears, I think, from that time. From that time, sin was growing and fear was growing. And we should be free from those, from our sins, to get to this boat with Jesus and to get to that blessed destination. And how? And Jesus invites us. He says, let us pass over unto the other side. And he did everything. Jesus came to this world. He gave his teaching. He explained everything. And he, the most important, he went up to the cross on Calvary, and he did his very life for us to save us. It was the greatest answer, verse 38, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He gave his life that to save us from perishing, from death. And his sacrifice, he gave his pure blood for our sins because of his great life. Because of his great love to us sinners, he shed his blood for our sins and for sins of everybody. And when we believe that Jesus died for us, for our sins, his blood washes away all our sins. And when we believe in this, and when we have faith, to believe in this, and when we repent in our sins, when we ask merciful God to forgive our sins, and he is faithful and merciful God, he promised that I will forgive your sins if you repent sincerely. And when we repent in our sins, God forgives our sins because of Jesus Christ, because of sacrifice on the cross for us and because of his shed blood. And we have no more sins. And we can, with assurance, with confidence, we can get to this boat together with Jesus and to cross this sea. And of course, big waves and storm and wind and hail will attack us. Those unpleasant things, they will try to damage us. And all those things sent by our enemy, devil. But God is much more stronger. And we will get to this destination, heavenly kingdom, together with Jesus Christ. So, and let us practice spiritual growth. Let us be in God's word. Let us let our faith grow and bigger, more powerful. And with the faith and with Jesus, we can overcome everything. And no fear in any situation, even before death, no situation. And we know such examples. Yeah, we know that fear, even death doesn't have power. Devil doesn't have power over us. Death doesn't have power over us. Nothing. And love of God covers everything. So, amen. And let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, we thank you for this church, we thank you for everyone who came here today, and we ask you to bless all of us, and today we especially pray for Beth and George, and Beth shows us a great example of her faith, and we don't know outcome of this situation, but she doesn't afraid because her faith is great, and help to all of us to be like this, to have similar or the same faith. So this is the most important thing in our life, because this life is short, and it will be over someday for all of us. But there is no death. There is no death in this world, and a glorious continuation is waiting for us. And let us believe in this and help us to live with this faith and hope. And we ask about this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And in the end, receive God's blessing or benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.